Hey, welcome back to The Lookout with your hosts, Isekai Keem, and of course, Mr. Noiseless Poet. When it comes to anime, we get distracted. We overlook glaring potholes and some questionable things that we've seen repeated all across anime. And today, we're going to talk about that. So today, we're covering some of the best and worst tropes in all of anime. We're going to start this off with something that I really get tired of seeing, and that is the idiotic main character. Now, I'm not saying it's not entertaining, because it is. And all these characters I'm going to speak on, I love them, I'm cool with them, I rocks with them for real, and I would never throw hands with any of these guys. But it's tiring, and the whole anime could change drastically if they just had a little bit of common sense, a little bit of book knowledge, and some right direction. So let's start it off with the number one knuckleheaded ninja. I'm talking about our boy Naruto Uzumaki. Now, Naruto barely passed the academy. Okay, everyone else pretty much did it with ease. You see a little 10-year-old being ninja. Cool, they graduated. This guy couldn't do a clone. Does he have his reasons? Absolutely. The man also didn't pass a single jaunt on a chunin exam. So it's not like, okay, he just can't control his chakra. Now, the bull's just not bright. Sure, he has a bunch of reasons. Like, you know, if you watch it, you know, got the fox tummy situation. Got the no parent situation, got the village hating him. He had a lot of reasons, but all the reasons why you should have been smarter. I don't know. If I'm getting hunted by adults and everyone on a daily basis, I'm gonna get a little smarter or something. And if he just had half of the brain his dad had, or maybe his mom had, I promise you, he would have left the village or something and he would have had a whole different story. We wouldn't get Naruto the way it is. But like I'm saying, that's just one character that I'm just tired of. Another character that you all love, and once again, you would never ever throw hands with them. It's Goku. Now, once again, Goku has a reason. We often talk about people saying, oh, you must have been chopped on your head as a baby. Goku literally was. And not like, oh, he fell off the bed one time like your mom dropped you. Nah. I'm talking, he fell down a mountain, got a whole body factory reset. So technically, maybe I'll give Goku a pass because that's some severe brain damage as a youth. So we gonna not be too much on Goku until the end of this. But up next, let's talk about another lovely character. I'm talking about our boy, Monkey D. Luffy. Luffy, not the brightest. He doesn't pretend to be, though. All he does is have his dreams and hands. Some big hands, too. He be stretching people, pun intended. But if he had just a bit more common sense, he could have went the route that Garp went. He could have tried to, I don't know, pursue some type of relationship with his dad after Sabaody. I don't know. It's a bunch of stuff that Luffy could have did if he just had a bit of common sense. I'm saying the main characters constantly put themselves in situations they could easily avoid if they just think, Mark, think. Just use your brain. Just like MASH, Mr. I can't pay attention because I'm too busy focused on cream puffs. I have one rule. Don't go into town. And what do? Go into town. And now you on this whole adventure all because you didn't listen to the one dude who's taking care of you. Common sense ain't so common, is it? And lastly, I'm going to talk about a character that all of us are familiar with to some capacity. I'm talking about Ash Ketchum. Now, we've seen Brock and Misty give him hell his entire life. I'm talking like 20, 30 plus years, even though they're like teenagers, but you know, it's none of it. This man over here has top tier Pokemon. He's the only person I know that'll level up a Pokemon as max as possible and then just act like they don't exist in the next area. It's not like Pikachu got reset from level 1, I mean, 99 to level 1. You could take Pikachu. Oh, this is a Charizard? That's crazy. You should send him over there. What? Oh, yo, your Butterfree dope. Release it. My man, you could literally, you beat the Elite Four. You could run through Johto League to Kanto, all of this. But you were like, nah, let me start over each time. I love the game. I love the hustle. I love the grind. I love the game. I love the hustle. I love the grind. And Ash, I'm gonna keep it 100, man. Your mom back home waiting for you. She miss you. You got Pokemon that miss you, but you just wanna be out there living your life like it's golden. And that's why I can't stand Ash for real. That's why Gary better. But that's just my thought. I mean, no, am I wrong? Like, am I wrong about any of these guys?
I would say Ash is one of them people, man, just got too much credit, first of all, than what he should have got, considering how how much of an idiot he is, and that's why he was kept getting bust upside the head by Misty pretty much every single episode. Ash is probably my favorite idiot of the bunch, and kind of a callback to like your first comment, three that, you know, sometimes they're done well, but it's just a certain point you begin to roll your eyes like, bro, y'all are doing too much. This is too much idiocy. Too much. Like Goku knowing where his own children came from.
Goku, how do you not know where your kids came from? Kids, plural. That means you did this multiple times. And you're not going to say Chi-Chi's strong enough to take advantage of you, my guy. Cause we've seen who you be fighting. Listen. Like I said, all these people I would not throw hands with. I don't know if y'all seen Ash, but Ash be carrying Pokemon with one hand, throwing trees and stuff. Y'all don't want to rumble this young boy. So I'm going to say what I got to say online because I wouldn't say it in person.
I gave Mewtwo a single jab, bro. That's crazy work.
That is crazy. But it's not as crazy as this next trope that I really, 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 really need to see canceled. And I'm thankful that as of lately, we have seen a sharp downward spiral of this. And I hope it stays that way. I hope to see less and less of this because right now we're talking about the super pervy, creepy characters. Now, they can be done tastefully. Let's take Jiraiya, right? Pervy Sage. We know he does his thing. He goes around the whole makeout book. Man got a whole series and a solid following along with it. But we never really see him doing anything too over the wall besides creeping. Peeping at women is wrong. Do not peep at people. Women, men, anyone, peeping is wrong. I'm not saying it's not. Let's draw the line right there. But then you have some characters who are just handsy. They find any reason to get all up on you. Let's take Mineta from My Hero, for example. Mineta and his grubby little grape balls that he has on his head and whatnot, he will find any reason to stick himself to you. I'm stuck. Oops. How'd that get there?
Useless power.
It is a useless power. We'll have a different video for useless powers. But for right now, I'm glad that Mineta did have a change of heart after the time skip or whatever. Or maybe he got beat or something. I don't know. Something happened and he changed and he dialed it back. But some people are like this forever. Like Master Roshi. Master Roshi, strong old man. Well, once again, not throwing hands with him. I'll throw hands with Mineta, though. I fold Mineta. But Master Roshi, I'm not doing that. But we've seen him since Bulma was a little girl. Bull over here being weird. All his life, he was weird. It's not cute because you're an old man. It's not. It is not cute. And don't get me started on the people that just lose their mind over women. Now, if I'm saying this, you can all picture one person I'm about to talk about. If you have a woman around him, he's going to be a different person. Now, before you answer this, you probably have some friends or whatnot that act completely different as soon as women become present. And that friend is Sanji. Now, I don't know why Sanji is like this. I really, really don't. But he is, you put him around women, it's
whatever you say, shawty. Like, what you want? You hungry?
I could cook. You thirsty? I could make water. For real. Like, the floor dirty? You could walk on me. Like, you hungry? Right. You can go anywhere you want. I could teleport. I can't, but I find a way. I bring the moon to you. Watch this. Or, after his time skip, he just outright fainting. You show a little bit of cleavage, boy, done. And not like, oh, he's hot. No, boy, nosebleed, propelled, rocket, flatlined onto the floor, just done. KO'd all because she fine. Like, I understand that we get enamored with people. Don't be wrong. Women are great. But I'm not doing all that. Sanji does it to the absolute most. It is literally hindering his character growth, and that's why Zoro is better than him. This is not the conversation to have, but I'm not wrong. Matter of fact, am I wrong? Have I said anything wrong out of any of these things? Do you disagree with anything I've said, Noises? Let's have that.
I don't disagree, honestly. Like you said, it was really big as far as just all across for the longest time. But I also think part of that is like people in the West do not fool with that type of gen. Since we've kind of become a much larger anime base, we've slowly started to pivot away from that. Like, Raya was probably one of the last like, popular examples. Sanji is currently like that. But I do feel like he's better than what he was. I don't know if that's too far-fetched to say. He's still like that. but he's better, in my opinion, than he used to be. He's not beginning of the series, Sanji.
I mean, did you see what happened when he saw Shirahoshi, a Fishman Island, the remake coming out? The man was in a coma. The man put himself in a coma. A coma. I'm done. But listen, what you got for the people next? I done did two. You do your two. What you got, man?
For me, it's the keep it in the family energy. It's got to go. I've never been a fan of it. I never understood why it's like that. The primary examples you got was Ghost from Black Clover with the unhealthy obsession with his sister. I understand overprotectiveness. I have a daughter myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm protective of my daughter. Ghost takes it to a whole nother dimension. It's too much to really get into. Buchigiri does it. The main character's love interest, he kind of plays on like she's trying to talk to him. And like she's trying to entertain him, give him the time of day. But the whole time, she's trying to set him up that her brother will get into a fight with him because she has a crush on her brother and she wants to see her brother go ahead and beat the main character up. And a little bit of a spoiler here. It's upset because the situation doesn't pan out exactly how she planned it. Now, the most egregious portion of this for me was the, if it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat the demon lord. Now, this one came out, I want to say, well, not came out, but I picked up on this anime back in like 2020. It's not really isekai, it's more of a fantasy. Fantasy anime they got, like, and situations like that. An adventure, he stumbles on this girl. The girl just so happens to be but her horn is like by her hair, so nobody can really tell that she's a demon. So he, basically adopts her. He leaves her at this little tavern. And while he's out adventuring, she's learning how to be a proper young lady. She's working on her reading, writing, her skills of day-to-day life because they don't have that in the demon world. You go over to him. He's adventuring, making money. He's always doting on her, but it's more of like a loving manner, which you wouldn't think nothing of it. It seemed just really sweet to me, like a father just really concerned and overly loving for his daughter, just spoiling her. Because he would always come back with gifts for her, always telling her she's super sweet. Now, there's only one season, to my knowledge. I found out that it's a light novel. And I was assuming that, the light novel was over. I mean, I was assuming that the anime was over since there wasn't any news about whether or not it was going to get any more adaptation. I was going to go check out the light novel. Thing that I saw when I looked up the light novel, I was like, yeah, nah, I'm done with the series immediately. The cover of the very first light novel, they were married. I'm talking, he was an adult in his early 20s. She was like 5 when they met. He was raising her as a daughter. So that's just one of those tropes, man, that honestly, I feel like they're slowly trying to phase it out. I would love to see no more adaptations of that. What did you hear about that anime at all?
I did not, and I am thankful. That will never come across my feet because that is not my cup of tea. And when it comes to Ghosh, obviously I'm a fan of the Red Bulls. I like Black Clover. But even I thought that, that is just too much. Like, the Ghost from Marie situation, he's like, he has a picture of her, and he's like, and I'm like, bro, stop being weird, bro. That's your little sister. Like, yeah, this is definitely a troupe I would be more than happy to see never again.
Sir, I'm with you there, man. But in terms of just more tropes that I think fully en masse, more people are starting to be tired of, be the excessive harems and fan service. Now, of course, again, it has chilled out a lot since we were young compared to, there's much less fan service, there's much less anime our knowledge, but when you have the harems where they're continuously recruiting just new girl, new girl, new girl, new girl, and it's like, is enough going to be enough? Fan service portion, now this can extend over to the harems as well. You could have a really and righteously good plot, a series, and it could be even by fan service. For example, now I don't think it completely ruins the anime, but every time it happens in Fire Force, I roll my eyes. Tamaki had a kind of cool power because everybody in Fire Force kind of has a unique way of using fire, which I didn't think was going to be possible because there's only so many applications of fire. But she essentially had a transformation.
Yeah.
They took her transformation and decided to make that fully about her just going from, okay, I'm transformed, I'm running like a cat, I'm fighting, to now I'm going to fall and all of my clothes are coming off. You get a random shot of her in a compromising situation. And it's like, not only is it unnecessary for what Fire Force is, you don't ever need that. Is it almost every time she's on screen?
Literally.
I have to see her doing this randomness. Now, they have it for the ladies too, because we got Baki, and I feel like part of that is like a more fantasy for men, as well as the ladies get to swoon, because it's like, okay, I ain't never seen nothing like this. But I don't really, I think to a point it becomes gross. It becomes nasty work, ubiquitous work. Kaijo was another anime, or I don't know if it's Keijo or Kaijo. It was an anime about, I'm saying, it was like women's sports. Don't start. Women's sports, but they fight with their assets, if you know what I mean. I saw somebody get clubbed over the head with somebody's chest and they had a concussion. I was like, yeah, I don't think I should be watching this no more. One of the most famous examples of all of this, the women of One Piece. I understand there are busty women out there. I understand that in anime, you're less likely to see kind of realistic proportions. But One Piece, man, Oda really does it up with those women. And I mean, two coconuts on a pencil. It's crazy. Now, the worst. What do you think of just over in One Piece?
So, One Piece definitely. The proportions are definitely proportional. Obviously, I'm a One Piece fan, so I'm going to enjoy the changes and the creative decisions that Oda decides to go with. With that being said, even I gotta say, like, sometimes, yo, that's too much. Like, time skip Nami, Robin. Crazy. I enjoy watching it, but it's come on now. And then you got Smoothie and a whole bunch of stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, Oda can draw different types of women, and he has time and time again. But some, like you said, coconuts with a balloon. I'm sorry, coconuts with a pencil, because I'm still thinking about big stash. See, in my mind, that talking about Keijo and stuff. But yeah, One Piece, I love it. I enjoy it. But even that is excessive. We have to be real. We have to roll out certain things. And sorry, Oda. You the goat, though.
No, for sure.
Okay, bet it. My turn. We're taking this back, right? So when it comes to anime, we all watch it for a different reason. We want to see someone struggle and overcome something. We like to see someone's adventure. We want to see them, how do they beat this impossible foe? And what I don't like is when people pull out the power of friendship. Because, come on, yo. Like, I'm not trying to hear it. Obviously, It can be done tastefully, and there's nothing wrong with you getting stronger because your friends are by your side, or you have a person that literally heals you and buffs you, physically making you stronger. That's fine. I'm talking about the MacGuffins. I'm talking about the,
Oh, that guy's been a demon for 75 billion years, and I've been training for 2 weeks. Whatever you're gonna do, we'll do it together.
and you somehow beat this guy. I'm not hearing that. And the biggest violators, listen, I know y'all like to harp on this anime, and I enjoy this anime, but let's be real. Retail pulls anything out of anywhere, and they just play the music, and then suddenly Natsu's like, I can eat the air because it has fire particles in it, and we can combine. Come on, yo. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. You should have got treated. Fairy Tail should have stayed crushed. I'm fine with them getting stronger in individual fights, but you're not going to beat the biggest of the biggest bads because you guys came together. They came together too. And they stronger. And they got more experience. How did y'all do that? I'm good. The same thing kind of goes for the Sailor Scouts. I'm not going to get on them because y'all are really defensive on Sailor Moon. But let's be real. Sailor Scouts be pulling stuff out of nothing. And then it is what it is. Above everyone, all of that, above Fairy Tail, when it comes to the power of friendship, nothing beats Yu-Gi-Oh! Listen, Yugi, look at me. How are you friends with your cards? How do they know that? You put your heart in the cards? Is that legal? You got organs in this muscle? How is you doing that? Kaiba over here ready to clap your cheeks and you like,
Have faith.
you cheating. You not putting your heart in the cards. You are cheating. That's not the power of friendship. And you could be making stuff up too. You could be like, oh. I remember when he had the ring, Swords of Revealing Light on the floating castle, and he was like, "It's crazy how they're resting right on top of that." I'm like, "Yo, you making up rules? Yugi is a finesser. That's all he is. He's like, this isn't water, actually. It's hydrochloric acid that I developed just now. Like, come on, yo. Like, I'm not trying to hear that. Like, Yugi is the biggest abuser of the heart of the cards, the power of friendship. We'll get through this together." And if you don't believe me, you didn't play enough Yu-Gi-Oh! Growing up, because I had people that really believed that if you believed hard enough and you put your hand over your deck, you was gonna draw that card. And all you drew was a Karibo. You lost. You lost.
Help you at all.
Listen, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I think you are, bro. One of my. I don't know if you recall this episode. Do you remember before the episode, right? Hey, everybody's deck is the same. It's always the same at like in the earlier portion before like Battle City when they did the tournament. Everybody's deck remains the same the entire time unless you see them gain a card or lose a card.
I know what you're talking about.
They put their hands together and did that permanent marker
Get a little black jelly.
situation, right? It ended up getting a card that has something to do with that in his deck. There's no way that you're going to tell me you just did this. You're lying, bro. There's no way that he's doing this. He's cheating. He was cheating. You know what I'm saying? I know. I was gonna be brief, but I wanna do another one. He fought against Mako. Mako played Yuumi. First of all, it's crazy to me that a monster with higher attack can't destroy something because it's in the water. It's losing because it's in the, not because the attack points are higher, but he can't see it because it's in the water. He played like the moon card. He told the soldier to destroy the moon in the sky,
Yes.
not to attack a monster, but he said, destroy that moon up there, bro. The water disappeared. Then now all of a sudden, none of his monsters are able to do anything because they're flopping around. That was the craziest situation I think I've seen pretty much in most anime. That boy was definitely cheating.
Oh, they all were. Power of friendship, mine.
What irks me, kind of similar to how you feel about the power of friendship, though,
was that?
got to be the weak female characters in anime.
I got three in mind already.
They always have strong, they have characters that are strong. Sailor Moon and the Scouts, obviously, Shigabi Goku. Revy from Black Lagoon, one of the most badass gun toters, all of a period, whether they be male or female. Got one of my favorites from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm going to plug this anime every opportunity I get. But Lee, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, like, characters were done extremely well. And I have the examples that most people automatically are going to think of when they think of weak male characters. Now, Kishimoto is very, very guilty of this because you can pick almost any female ninja, most famously Tenten, for example. Tenten was literally never useful. The very beginning, I mean, she had accomplishment in the war when she got the fan, the two Ginkaku and Kinkaku. Apart from that, Tenten was getting tossed around airplane luggage that wasn't strapped down properly, and you going through turbulence. Like, she was out here getting manhandled and completely, and we never got to see her do anything, but she had a cool little weapon set. She was using weapons. Nobody else was like her. You have so much opportunity for that character to do well, and the design was cool. You got this woman. She has her two buns. There was no other character that looked like her. You got the scroll above her head. It's going around her. The different weapons popping out.
Yeah, that was cool.
To do nothing. It was a waste. You have one of the most debatable characters. You have Sakura. Now, by and far, Sakura is one of the stronger characters in Naruto. But when you put her in the position that you do, because she's part of Team 7, just doesn't do enough in comparison. Naruto and Sasuke, like, this is might spoil Naruto for some people, but I feel like Naruto's been out long enough that we can kind of get into it. Reincarnations of deities, and then you go Sakura, she just got a little diamond on her head and she healed a little bit. And she could punch kind of hard. Really, they really hold her. Now, I do think that, me personally, I think she was useful. But in comparison to where she should be with her two peers that she started out with in the beginning, she by and far pales in comparison. Now, I know Orihime, even though her power is slightly broken, her being able to do pretty much anything in the series, to me, she was very underwhelming for what she should have been able to do. She was always trying to, she was always being basically the damsel in distress. I want you to tell the people about the priestess that we got from Goblin Slayer, and maybe give a little bit more information about Orihime, because I know you know Bleach a little better than I do.
Yeah, I could do all that real quick. When it comes to Sakura, though, season one Sakura was trash. There's no sugarcoating it. She was useless. Shooting exam showed all that. Yeah, she was smart, but then she got handled immediately. Season after Shippuden, substantially more useful, definitely stronger. You have my kudos. My respect, Sakura. What a Hime, right? Now, it seems when it comes to Bleach, they definitely seem to favor the 13 court guards and the Seireitei, because all the side characters got a power up and a nerf immediately. They got patched same day, damn near, because Chad, Devil's Right Arm, okay, Chad, you the bull, and then you're not. Chad was over here punching hollows without nothing. He gets an upgrade, and then, yeah, you useful for now, and then you're not. Orihime, cool. You can heal. You have the power to repair and reject what happened. If someone lost their arm, you could be like, oh, but you have the barrettes. Go out there. I reject. Start healing the bull. Dope power. And yeah, somehow you still end up getting clapped. You still get caught. You get captured. Okiora just snatched you. And then some. Like, Orihime, you cool person. As a person, you are cool. But as far as growth, power, scaling, and whatnot, you are so far down on the totem pole. I feel like it's not even worth bringing you up in a fight. And when it comes to the drawn from Demon Slayer, I mean, Goblin Slayer, Priestess, I don't know the rules, right? I don't know how this works. But if my healer can cast less than 5 spells the entire day, and that's all you got going for you, it's not like, okay, cool, you can defend us really well. No, you can cast 5 spells. And that's not even early on. Early on, you get like 2 spells a day. And not even useful spells. Like, you get mild heals. Imagine playing any type of game and like, oh, yes, I could throw a bandage on you. What else you could do? I could watch you fight. You're a spectator. You're a spectator who can occasionally throw out a very, very small buff. And you watched everyone. If you haven't watched Goblin Slayer, I'm not going to say too much. It's dark. But if you can watch people around you no longer exist and know that you didn't have the power to do so because you already did 2 heals that day. 3 to 4 absolutely at the maximum. And this is your upgraded version. Maybe adventuring is not for you. Have you considered being a teacher? Or like maybe somewhere just off the field, because quite frankly, goblin slaying is too much for you. I feel like you should retire. Learn knitting. I feel like you'd be great at embroidery. But that's just my thoughts. I think we kind of beat a dead horse and we talked about the worst and all that, because all these tropes are terrible. So let's change the mood a little bit. Let's shift a little bit. Noises, what are some of the best tropes? Some of the stuff that, love it. I can't get enough. What you got for the people?
Breeze y'all through a few of mine. First and foremost, we're going to talk about the gag characters.
Love a good gag
character. Characters. I love a good gag character, like you said. Typically, like, especially when it's an overpowered gag character. That's pretty much always what it is. So you are out the gate, you got Mashal. The boy's obsessed with cream puffs. We had a little discussion about him being a bit of an idiot earlier.
Absolutely.
Literally, in a world of magic, he's so physically strong. He gets to do things that defy the laws of physics just because he's that strong. And, you know, he doesn't take himself too serious. He does have his serious moments. And they do that with those characters. And they're always trying to, like, find a way to fit their super powerful self into regular society, because they always want to either find a challenge. Like One Punch Man, because we all know Saitama always trying to find somebody that can survive more than just a punch. He's trying to get into a good battle, but he also those moments when his strength interferes with his regular life, and he's just trying to, you know, get it. So we get to see him absolutely decimate an enemy. Go into his personal life, and he can't even properly swat a mosquito. It's got to be some of the funniest stuff I think I've seen. Or seeing him get frustrated in that game where, you know, they do the rock, paper, scissors, and then the other person gets to smack him on the head. Like, the whole situation, it's like you get your joy, you get your serious moments, you get your action. Bad characters usually come wrapped in a perfect box. And another one of my favorites is Psyche K, because Psyche K, there's no real power system in his world. He's just a psychic, and he's unbelievably strong at it. He can stop the rotation of the earth. He can pretty much, if he can think of it, he can do it. But he nerfed himself, and he just wants to live a regular life. He wants his coffee jelly, and he wants to avoid being too involved in any given situation with these people. But for some reason, despite him wanting to be incognito and nonchalant like the rest of these characters, he gets dragged into relationships with other people. The funniest things I think I've seen in all of anime. There, we got your delinquents. A delinquent anime, like top two for me. And my favorite anime is a delinquent anime. Talking into my favorite, we got Windbreaker. Windbreaker was really popular when it came out last year. And the main character, Haruka Sakura, not to be confused with Sakura Haruno, Haruka Sakura, I'm saying, he's tired of beating up on people who think they're going to bully people at his school. So delinquents are always squabbling. A lot of times you got your delinquent with a pompadour. Shout out my boy Kuobar. Shout out the Pompadour Squad. Everybody with pompadour is lit. Josuke from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I'm saying, I had to plug it. Haruka Sakura, usually they have like a delinquent that's got like a righteous mindset. So he was beating up on the people that were causing issues, but then he got seen as nothing but trouble because he was always fighting to a school where everybody else be squabbling, but they all got the righteous mindset. So you just get a bunch of episodes of everybody fighting. I'm pretty sure there was a fight in every single episode of Windbreaker. And it was probably one of the more entertaining, kind of simple, but really entertaining anime. And you got my boy, the GOAT, greatest MCs ever, one of the greatest animes ever, got one of the best anime arcs ever. Let's go ahead and talk about Kyurameshi and them boys from Yu Yu Hakusho. Yu Yu Hakusho, that boy is out here squabbling, whooping on court. Oh, yeah.
You told that last week.
Come on, that's my favorite. So, you know what I'm saying? He whooping up on Kuwabara. Them boys always fighting outside the school. Yusuke just so happened to decide to unnecessarily sacrifice his life to save this kid who would never have gotten hurt in the first place. You know what I'm saying? He did it anyway. They offer him a chance to get his life back, make him into a detective, and he decided to, you know, do the right thing. And then, last but not least, when it comes to tropes, and also, I would say either it ties or slightly above the delinquent trope, really, I'm a huge fan of the villain turn good guy, villain team up, or just villain is the main character in general. Those are my favorite, some of my favorites. But for purposes of this, focus on the redemption. Redemption, always dope when they do it right. And typically they do it right in anime. Now, some people don't consider it an anime, but Zuko had like the best redemption arc in Avatar The Last Airbender. In almost all of media, all of fiction. That was some of the best redemption you've ever seen. Peace did it great with Nico Robin. Robin was out here playing for the other team, and she was vilified by the world. And she decided to join, you know what I'm saying, the goofy stretchy boy and be on the right side of history for a change. Gaara. Gaara was the guy that's sitting in the back of the classroom with his head down, with the hoodie on, that you probably don't want to say too many words to. And when he gets to whispering to himself, you probably want to leave the room, if you catch my drift.
But yeah, backpack right by his foot open. Stop playing with him.
Yeah, if the backpack is open, we stepping out the class. Gaara, probably it's safe to say Gaara got beat into submission by Naruto. Because Naruto and the nine-tailed fox, no pun intended, they put the paws on that boy. They put the paws on him. So he came back, had a little bit of act right in him. And then, you know what I'm saying, later in the series, he got that ridiculous hairdo where he looked like a soccer mom. So, you know, he was a good example. But none of them did a better turnaround, or there was not a more notable turnaround, especially among the popular portion of the fan base, than Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. Vegeta came to Earth on demon timing. He was a soldier for Frieza. He said, look, this is me now, and I'm finna go ahead and clap all y'all boys up. I don't know nothing about this saying trash, because I'm the prince. You know what I'm saying? He was arrogant. Was probably delusional. Obviously delusional. He really didn't have much sanctity for life or anything of that nature. After several encounters with Goku, you know what I'm saying, to fight against Frieza, and then ain't nothing going to change you like a good woman. So he got Bulma by his side, and Vegeta started to really make headway. All that culminated into him with Boo, and he threw down his life on the line unselfishly for one of the first times to protect his family and the other Z fighters. Now, obviously, he was unsuccessful. But gesture is what really mattered. And his character really made a change, but now he's more of like that, his underdog characters where they really like you, but they're not going to show you that they like you, kind of like Chopper when he get compliments. My piece. Vegeta, when Goku get a little too chummy, he like, all right, bro, I'm not trying to have all that. He get embarrassed when Bulma start talking about him positively. With gag characters, delinquent, and villains. Now, what you got for me? What you think of those?
Okay, listen, first off, those are all solid ones. Especially delinquents, you know, we love that. See, you put Beelzebub in there, because that was my John, too. But
Sir Olga?
Listen. Valid choices. You know, I love a good gag character, One Punch Man specifically, all of that. Listen, great choices. And quite frankly, if you recommend me any anime based off of these, most likely I'm going to watch it. And also, I'm going to watch it based off of these. Especially right now, for me, I love a good badass old character. Old lady, old man, doesn't matter. If you're old and you can throw hands or you just built like that, you got my attention. Number one, we got Silver Fang, One Punch Man. Dude, super old, but super ripped. Boy over there throwing hands with the best of them and then some. You would never, ever say nothing smart to this dude. He's like, him versus Saitama in the earlier match you're talking about earlier, the whole game. He was the only person that was fast enough to beat Saitama in that. And then when it went left, the gag comes out. Great. Once again, another character not throwing hands with, Master Roshi. Bull should literally be somewhere retired underground at his old age. But even in the Tournament of Power, he's over there throwing hands with intergalactic beings like it's nothing. I gotta respect that. You gotta respect it. And if you've been watching Bleach, if you've watched Bleach, regular Bleach, or Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, old man Yamamoto, that dude is a problem. Dude is a beast. He's built different. All these folks that have got some skin in the game, they got some crazy powers. Look at One Piece. Look at Whitebeard. If you saw his last stand, dude was a beast to the very end. Went down on 10 toes, ready to destroy the world over his son. Love that. But we also have as women. We got Tsunade. Tsunade came on the scene literally breaking stuff, punching through people. You love to see it. And of course, we got Genkai. I'll give you Yu Hakusho. Genkai, listen, we love a badass old character. We got to shout out her. Listen, we know Yusuke wouldn't be anywhere near what he was if it wasn't for her training and her powers that she passed on. But because I got the Hunter Hunter cap, I got to shout out the Zoldyx. I got to shout out Netero one time for the one time. Super badass OG characters. Love that. Love that. Now, after that, I got to say, I like a character that has either natural talent or a lot of hard work and get it. I enjoy a good gag character. Saitama did the calmest training and became world-breakingly strong. He was like, oh yeah, I ran 5 miles and did 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups and 100 squats every day. Now I can break the world. Hilarious. Absolutely. But it doesn't do what it does like Rock Lee. Rock Lee, he's like, listen, son. In a world where everyone has chakra ninjutsu, you can't do that. You got just enough chakra to keep you alive, but I got you though. You could just train and throw hands. And every day that boy trained and threw hands. When he took off them weights and the Gaara fight, a lot of people sat up like, how much y'all think that was? Over to start making up numbers. That was like 25,100 pounds. Crazy. Bull started going and whooping. Did he win? Y'all saw what happened. But it was the actions around it that was like, yo, Bull really him for real. Like, I like that. I like that. And then Kishimoto forgot about him in Shonen or whatever because he just didn't really do much unless he knew about fillers. But the act of it was dope. Asta, in a world where everyone uses magic, you're seeing a common trait right here, right? In a world where everyone has powers and whatnot, everyone can use magic. Guess what? Not you. Yeah, no, keep doing push-ups. You look good, though. You look good. Then he gets his power and his anti-magic. He's like, I get a big sword and I can cut through the magic. Watch this. And then time and time again, Bull keeps putting in the work, learning more stuff. Obviously, he gets a crazy power. He's the main character. But once again, no magic, just straight training. Or let me talk about someone who straight training, but get given a power. Let's talk about my hero. Let's talk about Midoriya. Let's talk about Deku. Man's all he want to do. As a kid, I just want to be a hero like All Might. And then All Might's like, no, you ain't got no power. You ain't finna do none. You ain't finna be none. Matter of fact, let go of me. Ugh. And then, you know, that's exactly what happened. You saw it. And then he gets inspired. He's like, oh man, this little kid running straight towards the fire when I didn't do that. I'm gonna train you, young boy. I got you. And then he trains. He gives him his power, but his power is too strong for him. So he has to train to condition so he can literally handle the power he's been given. It's not like he gets it and he can start blowing up worlds immediately. He starts blowing himself up immediately, actually, because he literally can't handle the backlash of his power. And we get to see him train and get stronger to learn to handle a gift that he was given And it's dope. Unless you count the very, 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 very end of the series. If you read it, I'm not talking about it. But other than that, that is great. And honestly, my favorite trope that, once again, can't get enough of it. The rivals trope. Now, I'm talking like whether y'all are on the same team or you're constantly going against someone and they're making you stronger. Naruto, Sasuke, perfect example, right? Cool, they're on the same team. I want to be better than you. And he's like, whatever. And then he starts seeing he's better than him. He's like, oh, snaps, let me step my game up. Listen, Sasuke got humbled at that moment when they're on top of the water towers, when the Rasengan and Chidori almost clashed. And he was like, huh, not to put a little hole in it. You didn't look out the back. Changed your whole life. You got shook. You didn't realize that, boy, you thought you was running laps around. He been lapped you. Look ahead. All of that. Then, as you mentioned earlier, we got Vegeta, Goku and Vegeta. Goku was him. He was cool until the Prince of All Saiyans decided he wanted to appear and stuff. And they've been internal rumblings, throwing hands the entire time. They're over to live in Hyperbolic Time Chamber. They got their kids competing. This is next level combat. But as a result, Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan 2, Super Saiyan 3 for one of them, Super Saiyan 4, if we're counting that, Super Saiyan Red, Super Saiyan Blue, and then beyond that, all because they kept going up against each other, tempering each other. But then again, like I said, sometimes they're on the same side. It just seems like it. Like Light. Super Saiyan 4. That too. Like Light and L. Listen, I'm not going to spoil Death Note, but they work together until they don't. And it is a great game of cat and mouse of them both just getting smarter and sharper. Like I said, there are a bunch of them. We got Yuno and Asta, the boy who's born with everything and the boy who's born with nothing. Theirs is a bit more casual, but one of them pushes the other and then they do the same thing. We have Zoro and Sanji. Mentioned them earlier too. They just don't like each other because they have different ideals, and we'll leave it at that. We have the gag characters. We have Speed of Sonic and Saitama. Every time I see Speed of Sound Sonic, I'm like, yo, he about to get messed up somehow. If y'all saw what happened with the incident, I'm not going to say it, but just know it was hilarious. We have Ash and Gary. I know y'all play Pokemon. I know. Every time, oh, you got a blast? You got a Squirtle? That's crazy. I'm about to counter it with this Bulbasaur. Every time.
It's the weakest. I won't even. Always made me about as mad as I could possibly be, because what do you mean? Picking my Pokemon and you gonna pick whatever it's weak against. For the interruption, go ahead.
Listen, dog, listen, I get it, because I was some hating stuff. But Gary did it right, like I said, because he was smart, he let you go first so he could counter you. Ash. That's what I was telling you. But then you got the hating stuff, right? You have people like Guts and Griffith, and I will not get into detail about them, but Guts and Griffith. And then there's the ultimate rivalry right here, right? Like, you know how some people say hating is in your blood? I'm telling you, this man, Dio. Dio versus the entire Joestar bloodline. I don't understand the beef. The bull literally gave you everything you needed. And from the moment you saw him, you kicked his dog and said, you ugly and I hate you and I want everything that you ever do to crumble. Matter of fact, I don't like your family. That's your girlfriend. That's my girlfriend. That's your plate. I don't even like plates. And just did it like, oh, dang, you passed away, huh? You got a kid? I'm on your kid. Now, what you mean you're on my, I'm taking your kid. Oh, that's a nice body you got there. Listen, Dio literally just lives to hate these. Like, yo, listen, I can smell Joestar in you, bro. You got to go. You gotta go. We throwing hands. How you got this much hate in your heart for seasons? You can't let stuff go? Like, what? Listen, if I was a vampire and I lived for like 500 years and I had all the riches and power I wanted, I'd be minding my business somewhere reading some anime. You over here just like, I feel like Jonathan got another kid out there somewhere. I gotta go beat his. That's just, listen, I don't know if it's just me. But that is next level stuff. And I will always respect Dio for that, because Dio, I don't know how you have the, I mean, obviously I know you have the time. You're immortal, but you can find the time to beef with someone that literally has no idea who you are, because you just over there fighting the bloodline. This is just ridiculous. You're over there hiring this hitman, like, see that baby? See if you got a star right there. Get rid of the baby.
Oh, I can give you three reasons. I hated the way he talked. The way he walked, hated the way that he dressed.
surprised you weren't
hated there. The way that he sneaked this. You know what I'm saying? He called flight, and that beef was definitely direct, sir.
It was.
Only other thing I got to caveat off of yours, because those were dope as hell also. Really like when you mentioned the badass old characters, like Kuro from That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. With the sword. When he got old boy with the heightened senses.
Yeah, Bull was so cocky. He was so cocky.
The cleanest. That was the cleanest. Some of the cleanest. Ice you and you don't even know it. Type of scenes in all of anime, bro.
Right.
Dope. I think there's more trope that's going to be near and dear to both of us.
Okay, what's that?
That's going to be when they do that fourth wall breaking or when they reference other anime. Now,
yes.
One example, I would say two examples for me. No, I'm not going to be greedy. I'm going to let you do one. I'm gonna do one.
I appreciate that.
This one, I'm going to say Air Gear, because they had a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure moment where they acted like one of the characters had a stand. She was beating up on the main character. Funny enough, in the manga, the part that hasn't been adapted yet, there's rumors that there's going to be another adaptation. They do another one. I will never shut up about it. I promise you. But the manga, they actually have Barack Obama. Barack Obama's in the manga. They reference things all the time. And I like just JoJo's Bizarre Adventure in general, a lot of your spoofy comedy style anime. They do a lot of cutaways because the art in JoJo is very dynamic with the faces and whatnot. And they do a lot of cutaways of characters with like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, super masculine, glammy face. If it's like on a girl character, and I think those are hella dope.
All right, bet it. Listen, you do one, I'm gonna do a very quick one and then a slightly longer one. Really quick one is gonna be That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, because you got it in my head now. Veldora, right? If you look at the fight, Veldora is literally over there in the fight spamming Hadoukens the entire time. Hadouken, Hadouken. He even starts to do a Kamehameha near the end of it. Bull is literally reading manga and stuff in the thing, and I love that. Especially when it's called to other anime. And no other anime, to my knowledge, has more references in other anime than Gintama. I'm talking about, you want to parody anything, it's in there. You want to reference Food Wars, it's in there. You want to reference Dragon Ball Z, it's in there. You want to reference Naruto, it's in there. From the full-on clad to everything. Gintama just has been running for so long that they are able to do this. And they do it tastefully, too. Sometimes it's a short-running gag, sometimes it's a bit longer. But there are so many other references. And it's always cool to know that this anime cool with that anime. I like that. Listen, this anime cool with that anime. Perfect. And honestly, anytime I see something like that, I'm like, is that a Death Note? How you have the Death Note in this jaw? Like, where did this even come from? Like, I just think that's like super dope. And honestly, one of the best tropes in anime. It pays homage while also referencing other things. And I'm a big fan of that. Keep anime talking about other anime and the conversation will never end. I like that.
Remember when Gintoki dressed up as Chopper?
I missed that one. See what I'm talking about.
You gotta go back and see that, bro.
Now listen, I'm about to rewatch it. I'm about to binge it. It'll
be a long watch right there.
Listen, I'm okay with that. I'm like, listen, anime is a long watch. I enjoy One Piece. You know how patient I gotta be to get this far? And that's all right.
But watch One Piece, you could do it.
Exactly.
You can watch it. What I got one question for you, bro, and one question only, and I know you've seen this coming. So you tell me, bro, who we got that can beat Goku today?
All right. Now, listen. Y'all not going to want to hear this, right? But it's the truth. We referenced this last week. Goku likes to let people power up and stuff. He likes them to get their first hit in. And if you give this man the first hit, that's all it's going to take. In fact, it's two. Now I say it out loud. There are two in the same verse. I'm only going to say one for right now. I referenced the other one another day. The verse is My Hero Academia. So who do y'all think in My Hero Academia can one-shot Goku? I'm going to wait 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Shigaraki, Mr. Decay.
Mister, I can wipe away an entire city with a single touch. And I'm not trying to hear Goku's made out of... No, he has muscle, tendons, he bleeds, he gets unconscious, all that stuff. We've seen what this man can do if he gets his hands on you, okay? Especially if you're talking about late game Shigaraki. It's game over. It's not going to be a slow process. It's over. You go back, hey Goku, high five real quick. And it's over. Bam, just that fast. Boogie woogie, get him out of here. I'm sorry. And if you say I'm wrong, you're wrong. Watch My Hero. Tell me, unless Goku, the aura around him, and he goes Super Saiyan Blue and doesn't let him touch him. We saw what happened. If Goku throws hands first, Goku won, hands down. But Goku not that type. So it's either that, or another character in My Heroverse, which I'll mention another time. And yes, Shigaraki can beat Goku. These are not fair fights. These are just characters that can beat a character. Alright? I'm just saying. But, since we're talking about Dragon Ball Z, we have to do what we always do. And we have to give a quick DBZ style outro. You know how this goes. So.
Sup, I got you.
Will anime still have these super duper bad tropes? Or will we only get the best tropes going forward? Will Shigaraki be the only member of MHA that can one-shot Goku? Find out next time on Kami Conversations. Thanks again for watching, guys. If you're enjoying the content, feel free to like, subscribe, share with a friend, and tune in next week for more Kami Conversations.